and that we're going to talk about in conjunction with this lesson as well, is that without a shepherd, a sheep is lost. A sheep is gone astray. And unfortunately, unless that shepherd has guided that sheep in the right direction, a sheep may never be found. Let's turn over to Luke 15 for just a moment. Let's start in verse John. Let's start in verse 1. It says, "Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees, the scribes began to grumble, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he told them this parable. What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbor, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who needs no repentance." So we see here that there is a lot of value that the shepherd puts on the sheep. We also see that the shepherd puts forth the effort to interact with the sheep to make sure that they're in line. And for those that are following that path, the sheep will continue their status quo. But Jesus wants us to recognize that unless we have a true shepherd to follow, we will be lost. We will no doubt be lost from a spiritual standpoint. I don't have direct points about shepherds in itself, but what I do have is several Bible verses that I want to walk us through about a shepherd. And the first set of verses really focus on, without a true shepherd, we would be lost. Let's turn over to Matthew 9. Look at verse 35. It says, "Jesus was going through all the cities, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciple, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest.'" So we see that without a shepherd, the sheep, they're distressed, they're dispirited. But we also see that we can be shepherds, that we are to see those that are in the harvest, that we are to pull those home and to bring those into this field and these workers to bring home all the sheep so that they are not lost and that they are not distressed. And so it's not just that Jesus is the one shepherd, but it's the fact that we get the opportunity to also be shepherds in this life. And our role and responsibility is to lead those that we see that are lost home. If we go to Matthew 26, and we look at 31, it says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered.'" So we see what ends up happening is that when Jesus is on that cross, he's alone. His sheep have scattered. And, you know, for us, though, this tells us that when the shepherd is not around, that flock just goes everywhere. It goes through its own direction. So a shepherd keeps everything, every one of those sheep in line. And it's so important for us to recognize that we need to be shepherds for those that are around us so that they are not scattered. Let's bring them in point. And, you know, we could look at each other. Is there anyone here that may be scattered right now and that may need guidance through a shepherd? And when we turn over to Jude, and then let's look at verses 3 and 4 and then verse 12. It says, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down for the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness and deny our only Master, Lord Jesus Christ." And then if we turn over to verse 12, "These are men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts when they feast with you without fear, carrying for themselves clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted." And so when we look at the NIV version here, it says that shepherds who feed, in verse 12, shepherds who will feed only themselves. So we see that there are shepherds, there are men, whose only goal is to put their own thinking and teachings in mind. And when you do that, the sheep in itself will be lost, and they'll be following the wrong message. And so for us, we need to make sure that we stand up and that we are the shepherds who feed the sheep the right message, that we don't just feed our own internal selves. Because our goal isn't just to get to heaven, but it's to help those that we see around us to also do the same. You know, everyone around us could use some guidance, and they could use a shepherd that will lead them in the right direction. And, you know, we're not talking about the sheep today, but as sheep, when we have issues or we have things and we see things that are not in point with what we believe, we should ask a shepherd here and see how can we guide you and help you in the right direction. Because that's the ultimate goal. And the reason why is because we all believe in the one true shepherd. Turn with me to 1 Peter 5. First Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the suffering of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those who allot it to your charge, but proving to be examples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." And we see that a chief shepherd is the, in context here, we're seeing the titleness of the eldership. And, you know, the elders were, sole responsibility was to take the chief shepherd's message and then pass that to the flock. Do we have to have a title to be leaders in the church, to lead the flock to the right direction, to the right place? You know, I've often said, and I say this actually a lot, that the men you appoint to be elders, you know, I do believe the qualifications are already defined for us in 1 Timothy. But the men that you appoint to lead at your group, usually time they're already in the church. And, you know, I've had conversations with other brethren before where it said that if we just had elders, we would grow. If we just had elders, the church would be stronger. And I said to him one day, I said, the men you're going to appoint for elders are right here, probably right here in this building, maybe, assuming they're qualified. If they're not leading the church without the title, what do you think is going to change once they have the title? The fact is that we all can lead a group without a title. We all can lead one another to what the chief shepherd wants us to do without a title. And I think that's the most important takeaway that we can leave with this shepherd lesson on, is that you don't need a title to lead a group, because we have a titled individual who is leading us, and that's Jesus Christ. Turn over with me to John 10. And Jesus goes through in John, and he explains his love and his understanding of the sheep, and why the sheep are so important. John 10. Quite a bit of reading here. We're going to read the first 18 verses of John 10. So just bear with me as we read through it. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. And so I'm pause right there for just a moment. So we see here that the sheep, true sheep, followers of their shepherd, you know the voice of that shepherd. True sheep will follow and listen to the one that they know to be their only teacher. But you also see that a shepherd can't just come in any old way. They can't just climb over. They can't just go in the back door or anywhere else that they want to go in and try to say that this is how we're going to do things. True shepherds are doing things based on one message and with one thing in mind, and that's to get these sheep in line with what Jesus wants them to hear and what Jesus wants you and I and everyone around us to believe. Let's continue in verse 7. It says, so Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find my pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them up and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own knows me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. The commandment I received from my Father. So we see that Jesus, he is the good shepherd. He is our shepherd, but he also tells us that you and I know the way we should be when it comes to being shepherds. He has the message, and he says that a true shepherd, you know what he does for his brethren, for his the ones that he's teaching? He lays down his life for them. And we know Jesus here is talking about a physical sense in which he's given up his life. But think about the things that you may have to give up to help one of your brothers. We can go to 1 Corinthians and talk about the eating of the meat, right? The things that nothing inherently wrong with eating specific meat. But if you see it being offered for idols, well, your brother may have a problem with that. You know, that's just, you know, a simple example. But there may be things that we might have to give up to make sure that our brethren stay in line. And that may also mean that I've got to spend hours calling this person or reaching out to this person to keep them in point so that they don't fall away. You may have to give up a football game, because every Sunday I need to be with this brethren to walk them in the path, or I may need to be with someone who's not a brother to teach them the word, because that's the only time they're available to be shepherd. And so it's important for us to recognize that our lives, first of all, have to be in line with the chief shepherd, our ways, our thinking. But we also need to help those around us get there as well. And if there's anybody who is struggling, you let us know and we will shepherd you to the right direction. Turn to Revelation 7. Look at verse 17. It says, actually, it starts at 16. It says, so they will hunger no longer, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and will guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So we see here that Jesus is the shepherd that we need to follow. But we also can see that without this shepherd, there's really no life, spiritual life. Without the following of this specific shepherd, we don't have a life after this one. There's nothing to look forward to. You know, it's as if you're following a shepherd who's going to lead you to a slaughterhouse. And if you're following a shepherd that's going to lead you there, I warn you, there's no coming back. Because once you're physically slaughtered, and then spiritually slaughtered, it's too late. But the great thing is about this shepherd, and while we're still walking, we all have an opportunity to come back to the one true shepherd, each and every one of us. It is never too late to return. Turn with me to Matthew 25. Look at verses 31 to 33. It says, but when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right hand, and the goats on the left. So it's never too late to return to the true shepherd, unless you've become a goat. And if you've become a goat, what that tells me is that you don't listen to a shepherd. You don't want to listen to a shepherd. And the only thing that matters to you is whatever you feel is necessary and is right. But a sheep, and we're going to go in details, like I said, next lesson, it will see its one true calling in this life. And that's to stay in line with the one true shepherd. And so you and I, we can be shepherds. We can be shepherds to one another. And it's never too late to return to this one true shepherd. As long as you're walking and moving, it's never too late. You know, if I had to conclude this lesson, what would I conclude it as? You know, we all know we have one true shepherd to follow. We all know that it's important to also be shepherds in ourselves. I was just thinking earlier today, like, about what would our lives be like if we had no direction, if we had no one to follow. It'd be chaos. And each and every one of us, at one time, you know, go back to when you were a kid. Your parents didn't have to tell you more than once what you needed to do. You were there, and guess what? You didn't have a care in the world. You listened, you followed, they took care of your every need. That's what the one true shepherd does for each and every one of us. As long as we stay in line with what He wants us to do. The problem is, just like when you're a child, as you mature and get older, you start feeding yourselves with the wrong type of food. And when you do that, you're no longer listening to the shepherd. You're no longer understanding the shepherd. You no longer even want to know who the shepherd is, because you've already made a determination that you are the shepherd, and whatever you teach is what's right. But from a spiritual standpoint, what you say, what you believe, and what you teach cannot get you through the gates of heaven. Just like Jesus said, he is the door. He is the only shepherd that we have to follow to get through those gates of heaven. If there's anything that we can do to help you get in line, or if you need guidance on how do we be shepherds, or how can we shepherd each other, feel free to come up and reach out at any time as we stand and as we sing.